Today is Monday, October 29th, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. Today is going to be a little bit of a shorter show. I got to tell you, kindergarten is rough. I am still battling a bit of a flu head cold. Like right now, as I'm listening, I can't quite even tell if my headphones are working. I have to like open my ears every couple seconds, but I wanted to jump on the mic here and give you a show for today. I want to start out the show by, of course, telling you to go to dvrpodcast.com. Check out our Patreon as well, patreon.com/DVR. Hey, while you're on Patreon, head over to Justin Thomas show and check out his Patreon as well. He was on Friday on our show and we had a great time, and I hope Justin is going to be coming back on Fridays, and we're going to try to dive into subject matter rather than like deep dive a show. We're going to try to use that space to talk about what's happening in TV, film, you know, all that kind of stuff, more meta conversations. So check out Justin Thomas as well. And he actually kind of revamped his whole network over there. So if what used to be the Justin Thomas show on YouTube is a little bit different when you go over there. And I like what he did. It's really kind of cool. He kind of called himself, now it's called Top Shelf Fandom. So that's pretty awesome. I'll include a link there in the show notes. And Justin is kind of, you know, rebranding more towards what he's doing, trying to have a little top shelf fandom. You know what I mean? We're not talking about Miller Lite here. We're talking about the top shelf stuff, okay? Microbrew. He's a microbrew. I like it. Also, please email me, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. I got a couple emails today that I'm going to talk about, and we're going to go from there. But I did want to say this. Congratulations to the Boston Red Sox. They won the World Series. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but as I get older, I kind of have a hankering to get back into baseball. I've talked about that before. I'm mostly football, soccer, a little bit of basketball. But it's great to see. I know that, like me, I'm a Jets fan. The Red Sox didn't win. They were like cursed. And now they're winning all the time. Good for them. I want to give a shout out to Joe Bear, who I know is from the Boston area. Hopefully he's happy about this. I don't know if he is into baseball or not. And I do want to give my condolences to DJ Tim Hinesworth, who is a Dodgers fan, and they were defeated. And DJ, been there, done that. I'm a Jets fan. What can I tell you? If you want someone to sulk with, give me a call, because I'll just tell you, get used to it. At least you made the World Series, dude. It's always good to play. That's how I see it. A perennial, I won't call the Jets perennial losers because they're not. They got to the AFC Championship twice. I mean, of course, that was like 15 years ago or something, but well, it was about 10 years ago. But, you know, I've always just been thankful to win a game. I have very low expectations, but that's just who I am. And I do want to say, our old friends at cufflinks.com, head over to cufflinks.com because they have some fantastic Boston stuff. I'm looking at it right now. They've got great cufflinks, money clips, tie clips, the little socks, the logos. It's really fantastic stuff they have over there. So head over to cufflinks.com, get yourself some Boston stuff to celebrate. And they've just got a ton of stuff over there. Cufflinks.com is the place to be. They've all your geek and sports needs, they're taking care of you. You know, no one ever said just because you're geeky or sporty, you can still look good. You can represent and look good at the same time. So check out cufflinks.com. Give them a look over there. So I got some little bit of news, and I also have some emails. And since I was really feeling terrible over the weekend, I had a chance. Actually, I'll just jump into that first. Why not? I like to kind of do the show a little bit different here and there. I'm a person who gets very bored by doing the same exact thing all the time. But bring you the same content, just mix it up. But so over the weekend, I got back into The Good Cop, which is the Netflix show with Josh Groban and Tony Danza. And I also watched the last four episodes of The Good Place. Now, I was going to try to wait on The Good Place, but I just couldn't because I was in a bad place. And I was just, I was so tired of being inside and feeling sick, which I still am, but I'm going to at least sit outside on the porch today. I think Lachlan and I are just going to sit out front and he'll be like, what are we doing? I'll be like, we're looking, look around. It's no nice to be outside. Whatever, Dad. but anyway, The Good Place continues to be amazing. I cannot express how intelligent, loving, thoughtful, funny, cool The Good Place is. And it's also there's an appreciation I have just of watching Kirsten Bell, watching Ted Danson, even the newer actors and actresses on the show who I'm not as familiar with are just fantastic. I love Chidi. Chidi is like, I love that dude. He's just such a great character. It reminds me a little bit of myself, a little bit of an overthinker. But anyway, I'm not going to spoil because I just want more people to watch The Good Place. And every time I talk to someone, I tell them, watch The Good Place. Anytime, that's the first thing someone says, what TV show should I be watching? Well, first I say you're watching Better Call Saul, right? Watch The Good Place then, because it's so worth it. And if you're listening to this show and you haven't watched it yet, go give it a shot. It's all on Netflix. Now, I wanted to go watch Superstore, and Superstore is all on Hulu. So I was not able to watch Superstore because I still just haven't signed up for Hulu because there's so much TV on. Gina, I want to do Handmaids, continue covering Handmaids with you. That was such a great podcast we did back, about 5 or 6 months ago. I want to finish up on season two. I think it's probably going to be the holidays or something when I get through. I mean, still my wife and I, we got to finish Haunting of Hill House. We watched one episode of Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. And I will say, I really liked it. It's about two or three steps up above a CW show. But it's similar. It's from Berlanti. You know, I love Greg Berlanti, The Flash, all this kind of stuff. Love Simon, which I thought was a really fun little movie. And Sabrina's kind of on that, you know, it's not Haunting of Hill House. It's not on that level. It's kind of a teen 20s. It's so hard these days because it's like when I was growing up, people used to say your 20s or your teens. Now I think people say like your 30s or your teens, right? Like people like myself don't get married and have kids until they're like in their late 30s or something. But it's a good show. It's fun. Kiernan Shipka from Mad Men is very interesting. She's such a cool character, like she was in Mad Men, even as a child. And now I think she's only like 20 years old or something. But she just has such a kind of, I don't want to say slightly robotic, but it's like she just has a very easy way about her. And it's almost calming. Like, I like her in this role, and I like her as an actress. I mean, I've only ever seen her in Mad Men in this, but I see, you know, all actors and actresses play themselves in a sense. And she brings that kind of calmness to this role. Like, it's surprising. She won't be bullied, but she doesn't bully. She's not super tough, but she's not really vulnerable. It's a very even character. And the show itself is fun. You know, it's all the spooky stuff. And she lives at like a mortuary with her aunts who are witches and her cousin who is bound to stay there for eternity. For what reason, we don't really know yet. There's a lot of little mysteries, you know, her parents mysterious. It's got a little bit of a Harry Potter thing going on there where the parents died, but it's kind of like, did the witch, I don't want to say the witch president or like, you know, the head guy have something to do with it? Is kind of the witch government, the witch and warlock, you know, society, did they was there some sort of conspiracy against her parents, it seems like, and just little details like this that make it a fun show, make it worth watching. And it's only 10 episodes. Thank goodness it's not 13 Netflix episodes. They call it part one, season one, episode one. So I guess season two, I guess it's really part two of season one is going to be. And there's right off the bat, it's very Harry Potter-ish. If you like Harry Potter and you're used to that kind of setup, I think you're going to enjoy this. And I guess other shows on the CW have taken this where there's like a school. So supposedly, you know, she's going to be the big thing in the first couple episodes is she going to become, I guess we watched two or three of them now that I think of it. Is she going to leave behind her town and go to the witch school? And I'm not going to tell you what happens, but actually, I still quite don't know, but it's interesting. It sets up that, and you kind of want to see the witch school. So it's good in that sense, right? Because when you're watching a show and your main character is set up with a dilemma, you want to want both of those dilemmas, correct? You don't want, whenever it's like, is the character going to do this and it's going to be horrible, or do this and it's going to be good? It's so cut and dry. So it's interesting when the dilemma that's brought to the watcher is one of kind of wanting both. And then this way you're happy whichever direction the show goes in. So Sabrina, The Good Place and The Good Cop. The Good Cop, I watched four episodes of this. This is a really cute show. This really reminds me, I'm telling you, your grandma would love this show. I don't know if grandmas are still the same, right? Because my mom's the grandma now. But your grandma would like, it's kind of a Murder, She Wrote. It's from the guys who did Monk, and it's just got a silly way about it, you know, and it got a little jazzy interstitials and shots of New York. It's always has shots of New York, which I'm a sucker for. And I made a movie called Smokers. I think you can still watch it on Amazon actually. And I just filled it with interstitial shots of New York because that's what I love that in film and TV. And if you're a New York fan, you'll like The Good Cop. And Josh Groban is good. Tony Danza is good. It's half comedy, half drama. It could be a little shorter. The episodes don't need to be kind of as long as they are. It could almost be a half hour show. But it's a lot of fun. And when I was sitting here feeling like garbage, you know, sometimes you feel bad and you're like, I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to listen to podcasts. I don't watch TV. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to lie here. But then you can't sleep. But then you just want something innocuous to like make your brain go away. And that's kind of The Good Cop. There's some silly one where Josh Groban is going to become a bowler because one of the other cops figures out how to make like a remote control bowling ball. It's just silly stuff. And Tony Danza is actually I know he's been acting all this time, mostly, I think, on the stage, and it shows. The guy is in command of this character, and Josh Groban does a really good job too, but really Tony Danza holds this show down, and I've been really surprised by that. I mean, of course I knew him from Who's the Boss, but then that was 20-something years ago. He's been doing it. He's been really honing his craft, and he really controls this show. And I'll make this prediction. I would not be surprised to see Tony Danza pop up in a big film. I could see like Tarantino casting him. I'm serious, or something like that, because you can tell just from this show that he is a master actor. I'm not saying he's Daniel Day-Lewis, but he is in total control of him, his body, his delivery, even when, like I always say, and this is something I learned when I was coming up in acting, when you can tell a great actor by when they're not acting. So when they're listening, and you can tell some actors are like looking off, or they're trying to look like they're doing something while the other person is talking, because they're really waiting to talk. And a great actor becomes a part of it. And it's like, you know, their body's moving. They want to talk when the other person's talking. They're like, that's what Tony Danza brings to this role. You can see his acting when he's not acting. And I really enjoyed The Good Cop. So that's my start. So I'm going to jump into some email real quick. And then I'll end with some news. I'm going to flip it around today because I feel like not good. So I'm going to do it. Oh, I wanted to say I got a good email from Kellum. And he had a suggestion, which is to tell kind of my film story. Why and how my personal journey becoming a lover of cinema. That's the way he said it. One of the things I loved about the film list was the personal stories of people's connection to the films they loved. And Heath and I will be doing more film lists. He's just been having personal stuff, just working a lot. Actually, he just got married. He's coming back. Heath and I talk all the time. Don't worry. We're bros to the end. And, I'm going to do this, Kellum. And actually, I talked to DJ Tim Hines about it. Maybe he'll do it. I hope so. And we were talking, maybe we'll get some other people to try, but we'll see. I know I'm going to do it. And I might even do this tomorrow or Thursday, because I think that's great. I'd love to talk about that. I love talking about myself, Kellum. I'll do that. And it's an interesting story, too, I think. I think I actually have a kind of interesting story, how I got into TV, film, production, how I see it, how it was to me as a kid, how I was introduced to it. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So I want to thank Kellum for that. And also he said another film topic would be covering lesser known films that you know that most people don't. Trying to fill some holes in cinema experience. Now I want to do that. I also want to fill my own holes. And he said, that is assuming you have holes. I definitely do. I have tried, and especially from working at World of Video, I think I've pretty much seen at least one film from every country that has had a bit of a film industry, you know? And that even includes like some Senegalese films, some films from all over the world, you know? I mean, especially you all know, excuse the noise. They're cleaning the street outside my house. It's good to see him do that, though. Thank you. A lot of leaves. It's fall. But you know that probably the three countries besides America that I've seen the most are French, Japanese, and Italian. So that's kind of typical, though, right? But I would like to fill some of my own holes. And I would like to talk about stuff that people don't know. But one of the things is I don't know. Tell me, people. I'd like to hear from you. What are film holes that you have? Where are there? And it doesn't have to be country. It could be genre, too. You know, now genre, I don't know that I have too many holes in genre, because I'm very eclectic in watching stuff. So I've pretty much seen, I mean, even very obscure genres, I have seen something. But they're not everything, especially in the world of the interwebs, right? So I'd like to hear from you. So email me, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for that email, Kellum. And we'll get to my personal journey very soon. Jenny had an email because I was asking her about the Mayans. She says, I can't watch Mayans until Wednesday after work as it's on too late for me. And I work early. Yeah, so maybe I'll start doing Mayans on maybe like a Thursday or a Friday or something. Because I like Jenny's notes. I like kind of watching it with Jenny. I've been watching Manifest, though. I can't see it getting renewed for another season myself. If it does, I'll be surprised for sure. Oh, that just made me remember something else. I love The Rock. Oh, well, let me talk about Manifest. I think I've given up on Manifest, Jenny. She wrote a follow-up, and she's saying, I meant to say that Manifest reminds me a bit of the show The Crossing. I do remember that with Steve Zahn. Yep. And it was canceled fairly quickly. Same big sci-fi mystery danger, crazy weird things happening, government interference. She's got it down. If Manifest is renewed, I don't know if I'll keep watching, but I do want to stick around to see if it gets any better this season. That's how I felt too. Is anybody else watch shows like that? Like, you know, see, it's like this, Jenny, do you feel this way? Maybe I'm missing something. Because with Manifest, I watched the first episode and I was like, this is like one of the worst pilots I've ever seen. And I'm not joking. I'm not just saying that. I felt it was really bad. But then I watched episode 2 And then I fast forward through 3 and 4, I think. I think I gave up after that because I think I said, no, this is not good. And it's not good because I don't think talented people are involved. And let me say that because I always defend creators. And I think that there are people working on this show. And I think what the problem is they're trying to find a tone, right? They're getting notes from the network. They're getting notes from the production company. Don't make it too involved this way. Do this, do that. And I think it's mucking up the show. I don't think that there is a clear auteur working to bring a vision of something. I believe that in the writer's room, they're referencing other shows. They're thinking of this show in a sense as a type of Stranger Things show, right? They're trying to call back all these other shows. That's how it seemed to me. So I don't think that they're untalented hacks, blah, blah, blah. No, I think that they're trying for something and they're not achieving it, you know? And I will say though, that the acting I find to be not good. I like it when they take a chance and cast people you haven't seen before, but some of the actors on that show are not very good. So I kind of given up on Manifest. If it continues, tell us, Jenny, tell us what happens. You could actually, if you want to recap Manifest for me, go ahead. I think it'd be hilarious. One show that I always want to go back and watch, I can't remember the name of it, is that crazy Michael Crichton Animals Go Nuts with the guy from Mad Men was on it. That was on for like 3 seasons. I think it may have been called like Zoo. And it was on CBS, and it turned out to be one of the craziest shows ever. And I want to go back and watch it because it's supposed to be insane. But I used to listen to recaps of it just because it was so silly. She also says, I love The Rock, too. I started watching Ballers because of him, but I took it off my DVR list last year at the end of the season because the show was just too stupid. The first couple weeks, sorry if my voice is going a little bit here. The first couple weeks, I had a running joke that I was going to cover Ballers. It was such a joke that I stopped watching Ballers. I just feel like HBO has The Rock in a contract and they don't want to let him go. And I also think they have a ton of fun making that show. And I think people watch it or they record it. And it's just going to go on forever, probably. That's why I call for Ballers to have like a space season. Wouldn't that be great? Like, let's have an alien invasion season of Ballers where aliens invade and take over all the sports team and The Rock has to figure it out. That's what I'm hoping for Ballers. Jenny had a little bit more to say about a couple other shows, and I'm going to save that email, actually, because those were two shows that I wanted to get into a little bit. Again, one of them being Outlander. If anyone watches Outlander, hit me up on it. I think I might start watching that with my wife. A. Husser and his wife watch it, and I think it looks great. And also, I do have to admit that the woman who stars on Outlander, because I think Jenny said something like the guy who was on Outlander is like super hot or something. Let's see. What was she says? Yes. Sam Hugan, the actor who plays Jamie, is hot, hot, hot. Well, the woman who stars on Outlander, to me, she looks like my wife. She reminds me kind of my wife, just like kind of that tall, Irishy, you know, kind of Europeanish looking woman. She's just gorgeous. And I think my wife is gorgeous. So I have been wanting to watch Outlander because I'm like, she's just striking. And I know Outlander has that appeal to it, right? It's very sensual and sexual and romantic. And my wife and I usually make fun of shows we watch. So I think it'd be nice for us to watch, like, we're a romantic couple, you know? I like to watch a romantic show. Uh-oh, kid show, as Heath O would say. All right, so Jenny, I'm going to talk about what you said here at a later time because I want to get some more input about Outlander, and actually I wanted to ask a hustler about it. So, no big premieres for tonight. There's a little fun thing on Netflix called Don't Watch This. They're little horror shorts. Netflix is putting a lot of fun Halloween stuff. I'm like such a lover of Netflix. This is fun too for those of you who are music fans, A Very Wicked Halloween celebrating 15 years on Broadway. I'm always a fan of when TV shows Broadway stuff, or even though I'm not big into like musicals and everything, I always support it. That's the way I am, because as I'm going to talk about with Kellum and everything, my entry into TV and all that was through acting and the stage. And I love it. And I love when it's on television. And even though, you know, Wicked is huge, it's not like a little thing, but that's cool. Now, there's a documentary on tonight for HBO called Outside the Bubble, On the Road with Alexandra Pelosi. That's Nancy Pelosi's daughter. And I'm probably going to watch this. I like her little documentaries. I find it interesting that HBO still puts these on. I really do. She's just like a woman with a camera. She just talks to people, and it's very real, and it's very natural, and they're slow, but they're nice. And I actually knew Alexandra Pelosi. She was a very frequent visitor to World of Video. She lived right by the store, and she used to come in all the time, and she was a friend of mine, and we talked a lot. And you know, back then, what was it? 92, 93, 94? No, 2000, I should say. It was about 15 years ago, not 90. Geez, I'm not that old. But we didn't talk much about her mom, even though, you know what? I started thinking about it last night when I was preparing the podcast, and I was like, you know what? I met Nancy Pelosi. She came into the store with Alexandra Pelosi. I remembered all of a sudden, like, it's crazy that people who came into that store that I just didn't even realize who I was talking to. And then I can remember her being like, Mom. And then someone was like, that's Nancy Pelosi. And I don't know if at the time I've been always very political, but for some reason, or not very political, but very political, I've kept abreast of what's going on. You know, I've always read the paper. It's just part of how I grew up. And I know who's in politics. I know who people are. But for some reason, that escaped me at that time. I don't know why. But these are interesting little things she makes. And you know what? I got to admit, it's probably because her last name is Pelosi. Because there's a lot of small filmmakers who are making stuff like she's making. But at least it's on the air. So I don't think they're the best things in the world. I've watched. She's done about 5 or 6 of these for HBO. And she just kind of takes a camera and goes and talks to people. And they're pretty interesting because they're very unassuming. And if it needs to be that it's the last name Pelosi gets this on HBO, that's the way it is. But at least she's talking to people. And it is out. She's talking to all. The one thing I appreciate about her is that she just really talks to anybody. And I remember when I would talk to her, she is a very cool person. She has a thirst for knowledge. She just likes, and she would rent, she was very eclectic too. She would rent all types of different stuff. And she just was just interested in people. You know, she just was always talking about, like, she would like a movie that was like a character study, you know, of one person. I think back in the day, were we talking to, was it Waitress that we, I don't remember. Remember there was a particular film that we really connected about. She would like be suggesting it to people in the store. But anyway, that is that for the TV premieres. As far as streaming on Just Watch, not a ton of stuff. Again, Amazon dumping crazy weird things. Netflix has the latest Halle Berry and Daniel Craig movie Kings, which is a foster family in South Central a few weeks before the riots in 92, which did not get good reviews, but it did drop on Netflix, and it's good to see that. It looks interesting, and Daniel Craig doing something non-Bond. One thing did drop is that Amazon brought back a couple of like making of the albums docs that they had done previously. And one of them, which I absolutely love and want to suggest to you, it is one of my favorite albums of all time. I listed it on my favorite albums that Heath and I did. You can go back and find that if you're a patron. And that is Steely Dan's Aja, or Asia. And I can't believe I said Asia. It's Asia. Their biggest selling album, and this just, it's a great doc. It really is. It's not, it's great because it's hard to find out stuff about, like, Steely Dan is, they're so particular. And so, I mean, take after take after take. And they were kind of secretive, too. And this is, you know, classic album series. It's kind of one of these off-brand doc series where the interviews look like they were culled from other docs. But I remember watching this and I was like, this is actually pretty good. This may have been the best doc I ever saw about Steely Dan. I'd like to see more about Steely Dan. I'm a fan of Steely Dan. A funny thing is that a band I grew up loving, which is a Scottish band called Deacon Blue, they got their name because, you know, so Steely Dan is named after, okay, R-rated, the adult device used in Barbarella, okay? And that's where Steely Dan comes from. And Steely Dan has a song called Deacon Blues. And Deacon Blue took their name from the Steely Dan. So it was just fun for me to find that out when I used to listen to Deacon Blue when I was a kid. And then later I was like, well, I should listen to, my brother had an album. I should listen to Steely Dan. They had that connection to Deacon Blue. And I fell in love. I mean, they are, you know, I love jazz. And some people get turned off by Steely Dan. There's a lot of people who really, really dislike them. But I really, really, really love them. They're one of my favorite all-time bands. That's really about it. Not too much. Oh, this is a fun little kid show. I remember Lachlan used to watch this. Simon's Cat is on Amazon. DVDs Volume 1 and 2. Isn't that funny when a streaming thing says DVDs Volume 1 and 2? It's so funny. So that's all I got from there. I'm losing my voice here. So I think I'm going to cut the pod here. I had a couple, well, maybe I'll check. I'll say a couple news things because I always love talking, even though I can hardly talk. And that is, I was very, very happy to see, speaking of the, man himself, Daniel Craig, and the whole, Bond thing, the director of the last two Bond movies is set to direct a new movie. And I'm very excited because I am a huge fan of Sam Mendes, and he is now directing a World War I drama called 1917. And he cast a couple of young actors in it. And the pair will play two young soldiers who have to trek across dangerous terrain, trench warfare. Mendes wrote the script with Christy Wilson-Carnes and produces with Pippa Harris. Amblin Partners, Spielberg, is behind the feature, which begins shooting in April for late 2019 release. Very, very happy about this. You know, one of the problems I have with the tent poles and the blockbusters is that these directors go away and they don't direct their own thing for so long. And Mendes, he hasn't directed something original or non-Bond since 2012 with Skyfall. So I think, wasn't it 2010, the Kate Winslet and Leonardo film that he did, which I absolutely loved. It's been a long time, so I'm really, and I know Mendes too has been directing plays all along, so I'm glad that he gets back to that. That makes me really happy. Those were good Bond movies. People liked them, but I want to see him do something original, and this is good. This seems like a good story that I'll be really interested in, an adult drama. I mean, it's starring kids and, you know, they're younger, but it's an adult drama. I like that. There were some rumors today that the Wachowskis have retired. Both of them. And I don't know if this is really true, but this was on Dark Horizons, and it's saying that they're selling off their company, and Lily and Lana are basically a little bit done with making movies. and making TV. After Sense8 was canceled by Netflix, they did this special to wrap it up. And now they have sold their office. They're selling their offices. And they're in Chicago. Everybody remembers that, right? The Matrix, like everyone was like, it's Chicago. So they put their Chicago-based studio offices on the market. Who knows? I don't know. I love the Wachowskis. I think that they are singular talents, and I'm very interested in seeing anything they do. Don't always like it. I was not that into Sense8. I loved Speed Racer. I was not a huge fan of, what were the two other films that they had done? Atlas something or other, Cloud Atlas and Jupiter Ascending. Cloud Atlas, I thought was more interesting than Jupiter Ascending, but, they've had their ups and downs, but they're singular talents. They do what they do, you know, and maybe they just need some time off. No one ever really retires, you know, no one ever really retires. So we'll see. Hey, I did want to mention a couple other things. That was really all the news I have for today. There's a couple other things that have been going on, but nothing huge that I saw. Red Dead Redemption came out. Red Dead Redemption 2 came out last week. I know DJ Tim Hines got it. If anyone else is playing the game, tell me if you like it. I'm probably going to wait till Black Friday sales, and then I'll play it, and I'll probably dedicate an episode to it, because that was one of my favorite all-time games, Red Dead Redemption. So that's about it. That's all I got. Sorry for the shorter episode. I wanted to give you something today. As you can tell, my voice is kind of going, as is my breath. But again, check out cufflinks.com. They've got some fantastic Boston Red Sox stuff. And I mean, just click through their website. They've got just fantastic stuff going on over there. And if you're a geek like me, a sports fan, you want to represent, like I said, look good while you represent. Go to cufflinks.com. Check them out, people. And until then, also check out Justin. Check out the new Top Shelf fandom over on the YouTube. And that's all I got. Peace out, everybody. See you tomorrow. Peace.